what pastors talk about. Theology. Because everybody else they talk to, they find it boring. So anyway, it's good to be back, and it's good to be here with Tony, and I thank God for him. Okay. If you can't hear in the back, just raise your hand and I'll shout louder. That will solve that communication problem. As Tony was mentioning earlier about those who are about to go on deployment, I would simply say my heart goes with you, and I would want to say to you that God always goes before you. I too had occasion to go into, we didn't call it deployment, it was just Vietnam, you know, and we went there. I spent 10 months before I was shot down twice and spent a number of months in the hospital, and where I reflected and was reminded that God is faithful even when we're unfaithful, and that we can always trust him. And so it was my experience, and I would just simply say that we'll keep you in our prayers, and we will encourage you to look to the Lord for all that you experience in these coming days, and especially the families that are left behind, you know, who probably have it worse than those who are boring holes in the sky, you know. So anyway, I wish you God's blessing and God's good speed. Today, I want to talk about hope. I want to talk about hope because I've been reminded as I've watched the news and spoken to many other people that we're living in a day when just the opposite seems to be more prevalent, and that's despair. It's interesting and sad to read about the circumstances surrounding youth today and the suicide rate among them. It's also disturbing to be reminded about this opioid epidemic that's sweeping our country, reminding us there are people who need pills to survive day in and day out. And I'm concerned as a churchman because I know it affects life in the church. There's no getting around the fact that the parishioners who live their life out in the world day in and day out and who are susceptible and who are affected by these forces and pressures can't otherwise but bring that to church with them. Oftentimes, they come to church looking for some support, some answer, some encouragement. I suppose some get it and some may not get it. But the fact that it is so prevalent in our society is really a concern. And so I thought I might just speak with you this morning a bit about the matter of hope, particularly as it applies to Christian faith and the call of all of us to serve God in the Christian community. I can remember when I was a young child, about 10 years old, that my parents told me that we were going to Disneyland the coming weekend. And that created a lot of hope inside me. Now, those of you who may think that's a bit trite, remember, Disneyland had only been open 2 years. And we were talking a few days back, you know, years. So, you see, in those days, it was a big deal. There was nothing like Disneyland. You see, and so to be able to go to that place was a childhood's dream come true. And so I experienced a great deal of hope looking to that future weekend. I can also remember having received notice that I had been accepted to college, and given the deplorable state of my grades in high school, that was a big hope come true. And then, of course, I remember the time when I hoped that the young woman that I fell in love with would say yes when I married her did indeed say yes. Hope comes in a variety of ways, and each of you that are here this morning could make your own list, and in fact share that list with us about the hopes and dreams that you've had in your life. But my question today is to ask you, where are you on this continuum from hope to despair? Where is your life today? There's a lot of stress in life today, just normal living. And the anxiety that that stress produces can be overwhelming. And it can infringe on the hope that you otherwise should experience and the joy that comes from it. That's the message of the New Testament, at least one of them. And I want to talk to you about that. And I decided that one of the great passages dealing with the subject of hope can be found in the fourth chapter of Romans, verse 18 and 19. If you have a Bible, please turn to it. Otherwise, just follow as I read along. You may stand, please. In hope, he believed, he being Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was his wife, of course. You may be seated. Now, that opening phrase is what I want to take a look at for a moment. Hoping against hope. Does that sound oxymoronic? At least it should sound to you as a contradiction of terms. How do you hope against hope? It's interesting that the NIV, which is most popular today, says that it was against hope that Abraham, et cetera, et cetera. They take the literal Greek translation, or the literal Greek, and translate it to make it a bit more understandable. Because to say to someone, I'd like for you to set your life on a course that is hope against hope would make no sense to anybody. In fact, it probably would raise a few eyebrows at the very least. So let me explain to you a bit what's going on here and why the Apostle Paul chose to talk about this, and in particular, the life of Abraham, whose life was anything but ordinary, if I may. Abraham is a major figure of the Old and New Testament story. Abraham was a man who was called from a place near Babylon and asked to travel across the country 1,000 or so miles to a place that God would show him. Imagine that. That was back in the day before pods and before rental trucks. And Abraham did what God told him to do. But it was when he got into the land and had gotten settled that God made Abraham this promise. I'm going to bless you, and you will become the father of many nations, and the earth will be blessed because of it. Now, that saying sounds reasonable enough, but imagine if you were Abraham. He was 100 years old, or as the other parts of the text will say, that he was beyond his childbearing years. And if that weren't enough, there was Sarah, his wife, whom it said had a dead womb. It wasn't possible to conceive. And so all of those years they had been married, they had had no children. And here God shows up and he says, Abraham, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. How does Abraham wrap his mind around that? And so Paul says that Abraham, against everything that was understandable and reasonable, decided to place his hope in this promise that God had made to him. Now, the thing about Christian faith and Christian hope is that oftentimes it involves calling us to a direction or calling us to a place that seems almost impossible. I can remember years ago when I used to spend a lot of time with men and Christian faith, talking to them about Christian faith and asking them to consider faith in their own personal lives. These were businessmen primarily. I was stationed in Seattle at a church there where I used to make it a point to meet with the husbands of women who came to an evening Bible study there. The women who came to this Bible study obviously would not be with their husbands, and often I noticed that they never showed up at church on Sunday, even though they came. And I made it a point to seek those men out and talk to them about Christian faith. And the thing that I was continually reminded of was how difficult it was for people, for these men, to entertain the possibility of receiving Christ into their life, because to do so would have meant a great deal of challenge, if not changes, that they would have to make. Most of these men that I dealt with were very successful, upward mobile young men who worked at Microsoft in those days, which was very big. Others in very successful businesses. And the idea of giving their life to Christ, to them, actually made no sense at all. And the point I want to make or reiterate is that oftentimes when God calls us or God makes a promise to us, incorporated into that promise or that call is a challenge to take a step forward in a direction that has plenty of challenge to it. Oftentimes when God calls us, he calls us to trust him despite the fact that everything we seem to see in the immediate future says run the opposite way. And in fact, there's a story of Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah? God shows up to Jonah and says, surprise, surprise, have I got a job for you? I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, do you know Nineveh? Incidentally, the modern city of Mosul in Iraq is the ancient city or location of Nineveh of the Old Testament. It was a bad, bad place. And it wasn't very welcoming to good-minded or intentional Jews. And God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them about me. Those kinds of challenges are often part of the kind of call or experience we have when God calls us or makes a promise to us. And Abraham found himself in those circumstances. God is telling him he's going to be the father of a great nation, and he and his wife are not able to bear children. How is that going to work out? But surprise, surprise, Abraham believed God, and Sarah conceived and bore him a child named Isaac. Now the story gets even more interesting. When Isaac became a very young man, God came to Abraham and he says, okay, Abraham, I got another job for you. I want you to take Isaac and I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you and I want you to sacrifice him. Say what? Imagine you're Abraham. God comes to you, tells you he's going to do one thing in your life, and then he asks you to do another thing that would undermine or completely wipe out what he first promised you. What are you supposed to think? What do you think he believed? See, the thing about Abraham's faith, unlike our own faith at times, Abraham was convinced that God could do the impossible. As the text says in verse 17, we didn't read that verse, but in verse 17, what the Apostle Paul tells us about Abraham's faith is that Abraham believed that God could raise the dead, and he also believed that God was powerful enough and trustworthy enough to bring into existence what did not exist. Now, this was the character and the scope of Abraham's belief in God. This is what he thought that God could do. And so despite the craziness of it all and the hopelessness which seemed to be attached to the very instructions, Abraham did what God told him to do. And you see, that's what often the promise or the call of God will challenge us. The call of God or the promise of God will challenge us to go beyond what we think is possible, what we think is capable, what we think is reasonable, what we think is suitable, what we think other people will appreciate or not appreciate in our life. And we are forced to decide, can we believe this God in whom we say we believe in to do what he said he was going to do, Abraham did? And that's why the Apostle Paul says of Abraham, he's a model of faith. In fact, Paul would say to the people that if you want to find a portrait, or if you want to know what real faith, Christian faith, looks like, then here's what you need to do. Go back and read the story of Abraham. Now, I can tell you, having studied that story for some time, that not all was well. Abraham didn't always succeed. Abraham didn't always do the right thing, like the time he tried to pawn his wife off as his sister. That's another story. But the one thing that Abraham did is that Abraham had a conviction about God that led him to do what other people would have thought was just absolutely impossible. And that's what you and I are called to remember this morning. We're called to remember that the God who raised Jesus from the dead, the God who sent his Son so that we might have life and have it abundantly, the God who did what other people would have thought absolutely impossible, is a God that watches over and is wanting to lead your life day in and day out. The question is, are you able and willing to allow him to do that in your life? Now, those who do find that there's great hope in what God is going to do in the future despite what's going on all around. You can be surrounded by circumstances that are creating all kinds of stress and anxiety and still have peace and a hope for the future because you know that God has got your back. Or as they affectionately say in aviation, you're six. Yes? Did I get that right? Thank you. Thumbs up. So here's what we're saying about hope. Hope is a product of faith. Faith is the product of one's belief belief in a relationship that carries with it expectations. See, Abraham believed God, as the second verse says in chapter 4, and it was that belief in God that caused God to say, okay, Abraham, you've got a future. I can work with you. And through you, I can accomplish the impossible. You're going to be the father of nations, even though you're not able to have children at this point, even though your wife has a dead womb. Those are not problems for me. Okay. And Abraham believed him. Where are you on the continuum between hope because of your faith and despair because of the lack of faith? As faith diminishes in our life, as faith becomes the victim of the anxiety and stress that surround us, despair begins to increase, even to the point of despondency. This epidemic of opioid addiction is really startling to me. When you think that over half of the population is involved in this epidemic of drug use. Not illicit drugs, but legal drugs. That's what makes it so heinous. You know, we talk about Bible studies and we talk about daily devotionals, and the reason we talk about those and the reason why we encourage people of faith to participate in those endeavors is because the kind of hope and faith we're talking about requires nourishment. Every day you need to be reminded. Every day you need to hear the promises that God makes to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. For some people, that can get you through a very difficult day. For some of you, that can get you through a week knowing that despite what happens, God has got your back. And that's what produces hope. Hope creates perseverance. I wish I had time to go on and read the beginning of the fifth chapter, where we are once again not only reminded of the role that hope plays in our life, but how hope is fundamental in enabling us to become the people that God wants us to be. And let there be no mistake, if you're in question about what God's will is, I can tell you that the very first thing God wants you to do is to become more and more like Jesus Christ, his son, who did it the right way. And it's possible. It's possible to believe God and to follow Christ's call through the very power of the Holy Spirit. And as you get older, you begin to realize that even though things that didn't make sense when you were younger were all part of God's plan, and you can see it pretty clearly. I want to say just a word to old people, because I'm there, getting there. You know, when I was young, I was full of hope. I was hopeful that I was going to make a lot of money. I was hopeful that I was going to find someone that I could spend the rest of my life with. I was hopeful in a lot of different ways, even though I was also full of some anxiety because I didn't know whether or not those hopes would become a reality. See, that's very different than Christian hope, because Christian hope is based on a person and a promise. And so let me conclude and leave you with this last thought. If Abraham's hope was based on his faith, and his faith based on his relationship with God, and that relationship leaving Abraham absolutely convinced that anything God told him that he would do for Abraham would become a reality. And here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember that it's always reasonable to trust the trustworthy. The difference between Christians and non-Christians is they have no basis for hope. The Christian has a rationale for hope because the faith they have in God is a reasonable faith. It's reasonable because God is trustworthy. The Old Testament and the New Testament are here for us today. They're here to instruct us and they're here to remind us that when God calls us or when God sends us, when God makes a promise to us, we can be sure that that promise is going to become a reality. It's always reasonable to trust the trustworthy. Let's pray. Father, I ask and pray that this truth might become a reality, and especially for those who are going to put themselves in harm's way, knowing there are times when doubt and uncertainty want to take over. Help us to be very clear and focused that Jesus Christ came into our life and said that he had a plan for us and that he would never leave us nor forsake us. I pray that as we go forth, Lord, we might keep these truths centered in our life, for I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.